Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's a football Friday. Woo! And just what you always wanted, more Aaron Rodgers to start off your Friday, to start off your football weekend. I can't help it. It's almost like it's a drug. It's an addiction. We can't stop playing Aaron Rodgers audio. Though, I think the week one debacle against New Orleans beat the philosophy out of him. He doesn't have time to be philosophical anymore. He doesn't have time to tell us about his approach to life or his Zen breathing or box breathing or anything else. No, now it's time to get down to business. Now, I'm not on board with everyone coming out of the woodwork, including his former teammates, saying, here's what's wrong, here's what's wrong. He doesn't care. He's not focused. It doesn't matter to him. He's going through the motions. I'm going to need more of a sample size than one game. Aaron Rodgers himself admits that the team was probably underprepared and overconfident going to Jacksonville. All right, well, there's your problem right there. You got popped in the mouth. Everyone in the NFL knows better than to take an opponent lightly. I don't care if the Saints are changing quarterbacks after 15 years. I don't care if they're not in their own stadium. In fact, you should know that a lot of times emotions running high in a situation like that actually fuel a team and bring a locker room together because there's this us against the world mentality. So the Packers paid for overestimating their advantages and underestimating the Saints. But for now, that's where I'm going to leave it. But it is comical that we continue to hear from Aaron Rodgers, though the tone of his voice and the tone of his sentiments have completely changed. Now it's all about the football. Thank goodness. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Also, Jimmy Garoppolo in a funny exchange about hugging Trey Lance when his rookie teammate threw his first touchdown pass on his very first attempt as an NFL quarterback. What else do I want you to hear this hour? Oh, definitely Zach Wilson. Not only does he sound like he's 13, but he looks like he's 13. It doesn't mean he can't throw a football, just that he's young. So actually reminds me of Sam Darnold when he first got into the league and he was the quarterback of the Jets. Wasn't he 19 years old when he started? So young. You don't have time to be a kid anymore. Let's go. But a lot of talk about the offensive line for the Jets. Oh, a lot of talk about the offensive line for the Giants. What offensive lines have we not talked about this week as being less than stellar or as being porous or create or having enough holes in them that my grandmother could run through them? So there's a lot that needs to be fixed. And we started off week number two with an NFC East matchup. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. 855-212-4227. What's the After Hours game of the week? Every time I say that, I think about the flavor of the month or the ice cream. I don't know why I think ice cream, because this is how my brain works. Whenever I'm talking about the game of the week or something of the week, I naturally think about ice cream or the week. I don't know why. It's something to do with my weird childhood. But now I want some ice cream. Like earlier, we were talking about Mountain Drew. Actually, we weren't, but Benjamin Albright was from Denver. And then we somehow got on a discussion of Dr. Pepper. And now I want a Dr. Pepper. So we're just, I'm craving some sweets, but it's Friday morning, so I'm not doing it. I'm standing strong, and I'm talking about football. Not so much a sweet fourth quarter for Taylor Heinicke until the very end. The Washington quarterback making his second career start, and boy, did he pack pretty much everything you possibly can into a fourth quarter. Not just from a quarterback standpoint, but from an emotional standpoint. Up and down and up and down and up and down. And I kind of felt similar when I was watching the end of this game. as I did when I was watching the end of the Raiders and the Ravens and thinking about how exactly do you break down a game like this where there's so much in the final few minutes alone that you could just completely ignore the other part of the game and feel like you could still tell a story. Now, the rest of the game is important, too. I think Daniel Jones played reasonably well, and gosh, there's so much attention on this quarterback. The Giants QB in his third season, this is the make or break year, and I don't even know if that's true, but I do know that seems to be the sentiment surrounding him, and I can imagine that Dave Gettleman, the general manager who quote-unquote took a chance on him, that there's a lot riding on it for this front office as well, not to mention the fact that the ownership is getting impatient too, believing that they've made enough changes that they should start to see the changes pay off in the form of a winning culture. And how about wins in close games? How many close games have the Giants lost in the last 5 years? 3 points, 2 points, 1 point. They remind me of the New York Yankees and the number of close games where they've spit the bit late and have not been able to protect a lead. So with the Giants and Washington, this NFC East game, there was plenty to talk about. Quarter one, quarter two, quarter three. But I'm going right to quarter four because, yeah, the drama. Oh, the drama. So Taylor Heinicke making a second career start. Daniel Jones with all the spotlight. And then the offensive lines, right? And then the defenses. And how much pressure can these defenses get on these young quarterbacks? And then another theme that I feel like has been pretty common since the start of the season, but definitely through week number one, is the number of penalties. So many penalties and stupid penalties. And it seems like a lot of offensive penalties. So we're talking about procedural penalties or false starts or guys lining up in the wrong place or too many men on the field. It's mass confusion as we start the season for a lot of teams. With Taylor Heinicke and with Daniel Jones, there's good and there's bad. And it really was a mixed bag. But if you think about just Taylor's fourth quarter, he starts out, well, we could even go later into the fourth quarter, where he uses 11 plays and let me backpedal a little bit. So with Taylor, he has this, he has a couple of drives there in they're exchanging field goals. And he's got this opportunity to move the team quickly, and they want to be able to grab the lead. They want to be able to force the issue. And similar to what we see from Ryan Fitzpatrick, where he's super aggressive, we saw the same thing from Taylor Heinicke as they're kind of getting into the late stages of this game.
Spread formation, three receivers left, two to the right. Heinicke taps the ball, throws it right side. It's caught. McKissick down the sideline. J.D. McKissick is forced out of bounds, crossing into Giant territory, and he is a blur. 56 yards. Heinicke fakes the handoff, guns it. End zone, right corner. Oh, what a grab! Touchdown! Ricky Seals-Jones, the tight end. 19 yards. And Washington with a chance to take the lead.
Ian Eagle on the Westwood One Radio Network. Two plays, 75 yards, boom, just like that. And after a lot of field goals, and it certainly did seem like there were plenty of wasted opportunities, how many times these teams got into the red zone and couldn't capitalize with a touchdown, had balls dropped or wide open receivers missed or just the wrong connection, or for heaven's sakes, the number of times that it felt like the Giants had a big play called back on a penalty. And so with that touchdown, that quick strike ability, the Washington football team goes in front of the Giants. Giants scored on five of their six drives in the second half, but four of those scores were field goals. So they didn't do enough with their drives, with their possessions. However, even when they had an empty possession late in the fourth quarter, it was the defense that was able to come up with a big play.
Gibson to the right of Heinicke in a shotgun set. Heinicke back, throws it right, intercepted by Bradbury at the 20-yard line. He jumped the route. We said it all game long that Heinicke was loose with the football, and James Bradbury, who's had a rough night, gets a huge interception with 2:16 to go.
35-yarder for the lead. Gano Kepka, yes, right through. And the Giants have the advantage, 29-27.
Gano, yes. Maybe it's just me, but that's the first time I've heard that. I was thinking Gano, don't you know? Or, you know, Gano? Do you know Gano? It's not as clever. Iron Eagle, and then before that, you hear Bob Papa on the Giants radio network. So they take the interception, and they use it for a field goal, and they go back in front. And like I said, this is all happening late in the fourth quarter, and so Heinicke has a touchdown drive that's quick, but then he has an interception that leads to his opponent taking the lead. And oh, there's more. Just you wait. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So then Heinicke gets another chance. And I actually was listening to Iron Eagle at this point because I was coming into work, and I heard, maybe it was Tony Boselli who said it, but watching Taylor on the sidelines and how badly he wanted to get the ball back, that's all Taylor could think about is getting that ball back and getting another opportunity to make up for the interception that allowed the Giants to go in front. And oh, did he. He moves Washington into position. 11 plays, 50 yards. It takes 2 minutes. And so with 5 seconds left, it's perfect, right? This is exactly what they wanted, was to be able to line up with very little time on the clock and try to kick a game-winning field goal.
Two receivers left. McLaurin's the slot man. Heinicke in a shotgun set. Drops back, looks right, throws right, completes it on the right for Humphreys. He's got the first down as he beat Darnay Holmes, and he gets dragged out of bounds. And now Washington's in field goal range to win it. Hopkins is set. Way takes the snap, gets it down, kick on its way, and it is good. But there's a flag on the play.
He missed it.
Oh, he missed it.
He missed it. There's a flag down. Let's see what the flag is.
Offside on the defense number 97. It's a 5-yard penalty and a first down.
You got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. You actually see the kicker miss. And actually, it's kind of funny that Bob Papa did not see the miss. It was wide right. Hopkins wasn't close. And Dexter Lawrence jumps off sides. He also wasn't close and didn't need to be jumping off sides. What was him being across the line early going to do to change anything? So it's just it's a lack of discipline and focus, and it's sloppy, and it's a mental thing. But you got to be kidding me. The guy actually misses, and then you give him another kick 5 yards closer to the one he from the one he just missed.
A 43-yard attempt. Cheeseman to snap it. Way, the holder. From 43 yards away for the win, Hopkins curls it through. Washington gets it done. 30-29. Hopkins hits the game winner.
Ah, it's so nuts. That's so nuts. And I appreciate that Giants coach Joe Judge does not pin this on Dexter Lawrence. He should not. They had nearly a dozen penalties. Over and over, they had penalties that negated positive plays. For instance, they had a holding penalty that canceled out a 50-yard touchdown run by Daniel Jones. And just like the Dexter Lawrence offsides, the holding had nothing to do with the play. Jones was already free. He was already going. He was already going to hit pay dirt. And there's a holding penalty, regardless of whether or not you think it was a soft penalty. There's no need to put yourself in a position where you get flagged for a hold there, because Jones had already found daylight, and he did not trip over a white line or a tuft of stiff grass. The man was gone 50 yards. It was amazing, and then it wasn't. And so it was so frustrating. It had to be frustrating for Joe Judge and for Giants fans. I'm just an interested observer and can't believe these penalties. Darius Slayton having a ball go right off his fingertips that was also a sure touchdown. So, yeah, it's easy to blame Dexter Lawrence. It's easy to focus on the offsides call with the missed field goal with 5 seconds to go, but that's not the reason they won. I mean, yeah, it gave them an extra 3 points, but you left 14 points on the field earlier in the game. So I'm glad that Joe Judge pointed it out. Not that it makes it any better, because this loss was excruciating.
We have to address it and just make sure that we keep putting players in position to prepare them properly and make sure we can work it and execute it the right way when it comes up right there. Obviously, something we don't want to have, something that's not acceptable. But look, we're not going to turn around and put this game on any one player or one play. There's enough things we can clean up as a team. We can play better going forward. So we're not going to go ahead and isolate one incident and say that's the difference in the game right there. So we got to make sure we do a lot of things better for 60 minutes.
All right. So I appreciate that. It doesn't make it any easier. But him yelling and screaming after the game, at least to us, also doesn't do any good. But here comes the familiar refrain, same old Giants. This is the same old thing. And while it's not exactly the same old thing, starting out 0-2 again for a fifth straight year sure feels like a familiar rhythm. But I like the way that Saquon Barkley answered the question. And he's right in that doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It only matters what the Giants can do from here. But someone actually phrased the question, is it scary to be in the same situation again?
Not to panic. There's no need to panic. I know, no offense to you guys, everyone's going 0-2, this is again, it's a broken record, the Giants doing this again. But at the end of the day, only people we got is those guys in the locker room. And we got to look in each other's face and say, we got to stop it.
You have no other choice. If you want to be relevant this season, you have no other choice but to stop it. You have no other choice but to clean up the penalties and to clean up the mistakes. And yeah, that's why I say it's excruciating, because it's parts of the game that you control. And yet you allowed this opportunity to slip through your fingers because you didn't take care of your business. They had nearly 400 yards of offense, roughly the same as Washington. Daniel Jones had a pretty nice completion rate. He had over 200 yards passing, could have had 150 yards rushing if his touchdown wasn't wiped out. The O-line was porous in front of him, but also lost Nick Gates. That's tough, a captain. The fact that he got injured early on and a devastating leg injury, that was painful. That's also part of the game. It's the kind of stuff that makes you want to bang your head against the wall because, again, it's stuff that you can control. I don't want to ever say that Washington got lucky or a team got lucky because I don't believe in luck. You take advantage of the mistakes of your opponent, that makes you a good team, actually. And the deeper we get into the season, the less margin for error, the less of a buffer you get. You make these kind of mistakes and your opponent will make you pay. When you're facing a quality opponent, they're going to eat this up. And so Washington did what it needed to do. Washington dodged a bullet. Giants handed it to him and said, here, we feel bad that Dustin missed the kick. Why don't you try again? Yeah, the penalties. I don't know if I could be a coach for that reason. It'd make me want to pull my hair out. I would go gray a lot faster. Yeah, I'd get many more wrinkles. And it'd be wrinkles from, like, my face being all scrunched up. I don't think I have those now, but I suppose that maybe they're going to pop out every now and then from doing this job. So we'll let you hear from Ron Rivera and Taylor Heinicke. Good for him. It's a victory. It ends on a high note from touchdown to interception to getting back on the field and leading the team in position to watching his kicker miss to seeing his kicker get another opportunity. I mean, seriously, every emotion you can pack into the last 5 minutes of that fourth quarter. So pretty incredible start to week number two, the soap opera of the NFL. That's the NFC East. Here's one more thing I'll say about the Giants, and I could say about Washington as well. I don't know that you can be eliminated so early in the NFC East. So 0-2 is not optimal, obviously. And right now they're the only 0-2 team in the division, though Dallas could join them if the Cowboys don't take care of business against the Chargers this weekend. I feel like the pack is pretty smushed together. I don't know that there's one team that's going to run away with this division. Now, I could be wrong, but at least early on, the returns seem to be that they all have fatal flaws. So check it out. We're off and running week number two. What is the after hours game of the week on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. One more note. If the first 2 weeks are any indication, Washington fans should buckle up and maybe keep one of those heart monitors nearby because they are not going to make this easy on your tickers. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Hey, 3-yard attempt. Cheeseman to snap it. Way, the holder. From 43 yards away for the win, Hopkins curls it through. Washington gets it done. 30-29. Hopkins hits the game winner.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Second career start for Taylor Heinicke. Anything but boring. Washington, though, earns its first win of the year and is no longer in the basement of the NFC East. As the defending division champion, this is the team that a lot of people are pointing to as the best in the division. I think it's a total crapshoot. And I've already said I was wrong about the Eagles to start. They got a huge win over Atlanta. I generally believe that the NFC East is kind of all grouped together and there's not much separation among these four teams. But I do like the leadership. I like the coaches. I think there's some really interesting storylines. It just seems like they never make it easy on themselves, ever. And for Washington, yes, they get the game-winning field goal as time expires on their second kick because there's an offsides penalty gifted to them by their opponent. But that's Ian Eagle on the Westwood One radio network. Ron Rivera, well, he'll admit that this is one that they could have lost just as easily.
It was all we had to do was get in the field goal position. You know, we felt we had a good shot at it. And, you know, we got that opportunity. We're fortunate to pull this one out. It's a good football team over there. You know, they got some good athletes, some good football players. They made some plays. You know, they put themselves in position to win as well. And, you know, the unfortunate part of this game is somebody's got to lose. We're going to correct some things, you know, because these young men are there's too many good football players for us not to play better than what we did today. I mean, and that's a big disappointment is that they are good football players.
He has a high standard, and so does Joe Judge. And then you think about the other coaches in the NFC East. They do as well. Mike McCarthy, and he's got his own issues and problems to deal with. It feels like they get positive news in Dallas, and then they get negative news in Dallas, like this DeMarcus Lawrence injury. And so right now, there's a lot of that around the league. It's a race to consistency. It's a race to find your identity, and it's a race to get rid of the sloppiness and the ridiculous mistakes and the kind of stuff that you generally wouldn't make when you're in the middle of the season. But probably the biggest positive to come out of this game is a victory for Washington with Taylor Heinicke showing what he's capable of. There's mobility there. I think that the way that he adjusts, you're seeing him. He doesn't look like he's a rookie. Now, certainly, were there some nerves? Absolutely. He was firing passes over the top of his receivers to start. So, yes, adrenaline and nerves. But this is not brand new to him. And the team is really behind him. And that's something that I've noticed. Anyone you hear from Washington, they will tell you they believe in Taylor. Here's why. This is not a new guy. We've been working with him. We've got a rapport with him. And there's Scary Terry McLaurin, once again, saying the same thing after this game.
He's always ready for his moment. And, you know, I love guys who are always ready for their moment, always prepared. He doesn't complain about the reps that he gets in practice, even when he wasn't the starter. He just makes the most of his opportunities. That's all you can ask for. He did a great job controlling the tempo tonight. You know, he got us into hurry-up situations. He slowed it down. He made great passes. He took what the defense gave him, and he just gave playmakers a chance to make plays. And when you got a guy like that, you just want to continue to make plays for him.
I'm telling you, these guys believe in him, and that's heady for Taylor, but it's also critical for the success of their offense. Scary Terry with 11 catches. He's going to be Taylor Heinicke's best friend. 107 yards and a touchdown. And then think about the role of J.D. McKissic. We didn't see a lot of him in the opener. How do I know this? Well, he's on my fantasy team, and he was on my bench last night. Yay for me. Not that you care. But he's also going to be someone that they're going to use a lot. The great versatility of J.D. as well, whether he's catching a pass, he's got a great motor, and so he can move, and he can also bum rush people. So I like what we saw from Washington, but as Ron Rivera said, there were some mistakes that they've got to clean up. They're too good not to. And those mistakes bit them in the rear in the season opener against the Chargers, but they managed to get this gift and get a door that was left open by the Giants. And so they were able to kick a second time. And again, you take what your opponent gives you. As for Taylor, he feels like Washington's just getting started.
Shoot, you know, you look at every position, we got dudes at every single position. And, you know, I think the only thing that can beat us is ourselves. So I think we can go as far as we want to go.
Okay, here's my question. And I'm not a guy, so I'm just going to ask the guy who's here. James, would you rather be called a dog? And that's D-A-W-G, because that seems to be popular. We got dogs. Or would you rather be called dude? We got dudes.
I mean, I guess if someone calls me a dog the way PJ Tucker calls people dogs, that would be pretty endearing, and I can't say that I would ever turn that down. That would be probably the moment of my life if PJ Tucker called me his dog.
Term of affection, a dog. I mean, there's a lot packed into that four-letter word. So you're saying it's a term of endearment and you'd rather be called a dog, even though I think Taylor Heinicke is using dude as a compliment.
Man, we got dogs.
Yeah, but it's different.
Come on. How could you not want that? That's so much better.
When BJ Tucker says it, you're right. We got dogs. Or Mark Ingram, too, back a couple years ago when he was with the Baltimore Ravens. He's the same thing. It was a huge compliment. But yeah, PJ Tucker, just the way he says it, you know.
We got dogs, Jimmy.
You're his guy. I mean, you're his dog, which makes all the difference. Okay, so that was fun, but that wasn't part of Monday Night Football or Thursday Night Football. Uh-oh, I can't skip ahead to Monday. Something that I saw last night that I actually tweeted about in the moment, and it got a lot of reaction. Now, that's just football Twitter, so maybe there's only like 8 of us that saw it. But we found the audio track of this commercial, which I'll just be honest, and Erica Herskowitz is with us as well this morning. Erica, I'll be honest, I was so focused on the banter among these three, and you'll recognize the voice of Kevin Hart and then Dave Grohl. We had to look up the female. I had no idea what the commercial was for. So even after I've listened to it multiple times, I had to ask what the commercial was for, but they were talking about lasagna, so they had me at hello. Yes. Oh, producer James.
Hey, Kevin, do you want some lasagna?
Basically like a barrel.
I made lasagna.
What?
I made lasagna.
Who's Tanya?
What?
What?
Kevin, do you want some lasagna?
You stepped in what?
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 What? I made lasagna.
Tomorrow is mañana.
What?
That's my favorite part. Tomorrow is mañana, using the Spanish word for both tomorrow and morning. But so we get done with that, and I'm laughing my arse off, right, in my living room. And then they move on, and I think, I have no idea what that commercial was for.
I've never seen that commercial. Now I have to go look it up.
Oh, you should. It's really funny. Yeah, well, James told me it's actually for SiriusXM. So Kevin Hart has a show, Dave Grohl has a show, and we found out that the woman is Bella Porch, who's a Filipino singer, so apparently is an entertainer and is part of what SiriusXM does as well. So, oh, and LL Cool J. Wait, where was LL Cool J? I didn't see LL Cool J. Anyway, I was fixated on the lasagna and didn't have any idea what the commercial was for. But yeah, I thought it was pretty clever. You, what? You stepped in what? Tomorrow is mañana.
I gotta go watch that.
You do. So that's your Friday morning. You're welcome, Erica.
Thank you.
I made lasagna.
Yeah. Now everybody else there out there wants lasagna. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We got our boom moment of the week, and we're looking for your votes for After Hours game of the week. Here's our latest sports update. She wants lasagna.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Come on, click, boom.
As we wrap up the week, we contemplate the mysteries of the universe.
Boom. I just laid down the A-law. Boom.
The best highlights.
Foles running up and down the lines. A direct snap, and it goes to Clement, who gives it off to Burton, the tight end, who then throws in the end zone. Touchdown. Foles caught the ball.
And you're fire.
Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate the greatest sports show in America.
Boom!
After Hours presents the boom moment of the week. Here's Amy Lawrence.
Boom!
Blackburn comes set at the belt, brings it home, and a high fly ball deep left center. The wind will push it to the wall and gone. Salvador Perez, home run number 45. And no pun intended, but that is a benchmark home run.
great guy. You know, it's good, you know, to feel happy to be the greatest.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That's all you got to say. I am happy to be tied with the greatest. So that's Salvador Perez, who with 45 home runs, and you hear that moment with Denny Matthews on the Royals radio network, he ties Johnny Bench and that record for home runs in a season by a full-time catcher. So that goes all the way back to 1970. What Perez is doing has been pretty amazing. And now tied with Vlad Jr. for the most home runs in the major league. And while we're at it, also leads the majors with 112 RBI. So a great way to go into the weekend, one of the final weekends of the baseball regular season. And, of course, it's a football weekend. So we're asking you the After Hours Game of the Week. You can find our poll on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and then our Facebook page, too. It's a mixed bag, but like last week, we do have a major front runner. So I was saying to producer James earlier, I wonder how many weeks in a row, just for fun, could we have the Chiefs in one of the Game of the Week options and see how many weeks in a row the Chiefs actually come away with the most votes as part of the Game of the Week. So this is Chiefs and Ravens. We talked about it earlier on the show. And there's a lot of pressure on Baltimore, not so much because of their recent history against the Chiefs or any type of pecking order in the AFC. No, it's because Baltimore doesn't want to fall in an 0-2 hole, not in a division as difficult as the AFC North. 855-212-4227. And then, of course, on social media, we're always glad to connect with you over football. So Aaron Rodgers is, well, he has to talk. He's the quarterback, but he's talking about football now, which is good. They need to, according to Aaron, make sure that they take care of those opportunities, those scoring opportunities they have right off the top. It was something the Packers did very well last year on their way to a 13-3 mark. They scored early and they scored often. And in the first quarter, they came out like a house on fire.
It's the way we put together the plan. I think we put some A-type plays that we like for the game in early. And we did last year and had a lot of success in those situations. That was fun. We got to get back to that.
Yeah, you kick your opponent in the mouth, or according to Dan Campbell, you bite them in the kneecap immediately, and they feel it like a wound. And so coming up, they've got this divisional game against the Lions. There was a thought in my mind about choosing the Packers as my choice for Survivor Pool this weekend, considering they're hosting the Lions at Lambeau Field on Monday night. And then I thought, you know what? I just can't. I cannot in any way validate the Packers after what happened in week number one against the Saints. But of course, divisional games, they carry different weight.
We've been really good the last 2 years. I think we're 11-1 in the division the last 2 years. Big part of the reason we've won the division and had a top two seed in the playoffs. So they're the most important six games of the year, I think.
Well, the Lions are just as desperate to not fall into an 0-2 hole as are the Packers. It's just weird to be talking about the Packers looking at 0-2, or the Bills looking at 0-2, or the Ravens looking at 0-2 while we're talking about teams in the AFC. It's odd, but that's
uncharacteristic of how we've practiced in training camp, obviously how I've played over the years.
Yeah, this is not me. I'm telling you, this is not me. You know, it reminds me of when people screw up on social media, or when the social media police go back 7 or 8 years to when someone tweeted rap lyrics or tweeted something inappropriate and it comes back to bite them. And what do they say? This is not who I am. That was Aaron Rodgers. This is not who I am. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Robert is in Maryland. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning. Good talking to you again, Amy.
Thank you.
So as far as the game of the week, it's not NFL. Big Penn State fan, so I'm really, really looking forward to tomorrow night's game against Auburn and to see how Penn State's defense matches up with Auburn's offense. That's going to be a very, very fun game. But I have to say something. With the NFL and the offseason, I really enjoyed listening to you talk about players being moved, what the coaches were doing, what teams were lining up to do. But the one story that always got me when you talked about it, made me scratch a bridge to my nose, like, oh, not this again, was Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
Oh, believe me, I felt the same exact way.
Oh,
not
I know,
this again.
I laughed when you would say stuff like that. But it's almost like a scene out of The Godfather where Pacino goes, every time I try to get out, they find a way to pull me back in. Well, after the Saints just literally demolished the Packers last week, I mean, as bad as Alabama beat Mercer, I was like, okay, now I'm fully invested in this. I want to see where this dumpster fire goes. And I'm not saying they're going to be a dumpster fire. I'm not going to say that. But for everything that happened in the offseason, for all the talk, for all of, I guess, Rodgers talking in arrogance and you know, the Packers should have just gave him what he wanted for what he did for the team, all of this mess. That's the second, besides the Ravens, that's the second score I'm going to be looking at every single weekend after the game, because I want to see how bad they are. And I mean, if they pull themselves back out, it's not going to be as exciting for me.
Okay.
If they keep burning, that's the way it is. I'm going to enjoy that.
Well, so, I will say this, Robert. I will fully cop to the fact that I laughed at how bad they were in the first week, and I laughed at the Aaron Rodgers situation, because all we heard from him all training camp is how people come to Green Bay to play with him, and he's got the most experience, and they don't come to Green Bay for vacation. They come here with me, not the front office. And so he certainly, it's that whole adage of pride goes before a fall, right? And he fell flat on his face. Now, do I think they're going to be?
Great.
Yeah, and I mean, I'll just admit to it. I'm human. I enjoyed it, but I don't think that's who they are. I mean, yes, the Saints played an incredible game.
I don't think it is either.
Yeah, and, no, they're too good of a team. They've got too much experience. But I'm with you.
If I can side note, it was really nice to see what Jameis Winston did. I mean, to me, that looked like the Saints could really do something.
Yeah, no, I feel like we have maybe underestimated Sean Payton as a coach for a while because Drew Brees has been on the field. But Sean Payton is one hell of a coach.
Yes, he is. Yeah. Thank you, and I hope you have a good weekend.
All right, Robert, good to talk to you in Maryland. 855-212-4227. So, yeah, there's a lot of intrigue about these games because here we are going into week number two, and I've given you the statistics. Now, I don't know how they change with a 17-game season. I half the time forget that it's a 17-game season, but there's still so many storylines with pretty much every team. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We've covered a lot of it, so make sure you go back and check our podcast, afterhoursamylawrence.com. And if you missed Benjamin Albright from Denver, he joined us in the wake of Thursday Night Football, and he's an NFL insider. So we got some good stuff from him about a lot of the different storylines, like Jacksonville, like the Eric Bieniemy situation with Kansas City, but also about some of the various quarterback storylines and his thoughts on Aaron Rodgers and whether or not he's checked out and he's not fully engaged and all that jazz. So there's a lot of good stuff there. Of course, there'll be a lot more attention on the San Francisco 49ers again this weekend, because we did see Trey Lance and we did see him throw his first pass, which resulted in a touchdown. We also saw Jimmy Garoppolo play really well. So we thought this conversation, this exchange was kind of fun. On KNBR, which is our San Francisco affiliate, our affiliate in the Bay Area, Garoppolo was talking with a radio host, and the host asked him about hugging Trey Lance when he had his first career touchdown.
Mark Sanchez said on Fox, he goes, I got to give Jimmy Garoppolo all the credit in the world. He goes, as a quarterback, that's not an easy hug to give. And I wondered, what's your reaction to that comment?
He's not wrong. No. Yeah, I mean, it is what it is type of situation. You know, it's one of those, we had a good drive, Mark's down there, Kyle called the package, and, you know, he's the head coach, so whatever he calls goes. So just one of those things, you can only control what you can control. And, you know, I'm out there with my boys, making the best of it, having a good time. And, you know, at the end of the day, we're playing football, trying to get a win. So whatever it takes. But, it is what it is, you know.
I love that. I love the fact that Garoppolo has the maturity to say, I can't change this. I can have a crappy attitude, and this could suck all season long, but that's not going to help me play. I'm out there with my boys. I'm having a good time. Now, see, here we go, James. It's dogs, or it's dudes, or it's my boys. So, you know, they all kind of go into the same big cauldron. If you're called one of those things, well, you know, it's a term of affection. So Garoppolo has to choose his attitude and his approach, because if he's bitter and has a crappy attitude, it's going to come out, not just in the locker room, but on the field. And that will not make him a better quarterback. So I love that he actually admitted it on KNBR. It's not an easy hug to give the rookie quarterback who's gunning for your job, who just threw the first touchdown of the season for the team on his very first pass while I'm standing on the sidelines. No, hell no, that's not easy. But I'm going to do it anyway, because life is not easy. Football's not easy. And I still get to be out there for the majority of the time. So I really did appreciate that perspective. What is the After Hours game of the week? Aaron, who is a diehard Browns fan, just posted on our Facebook page. If I have to choose one of your options, I go Chiefs Ravens. But my real game of the week is the Texans versus the Browns. Time for redemption for my Browns. And of course, I appreciate that. We're going kind of national storylines, national intrigue. What are people most interested in around the country? Because we recognize not everybody has their own team or lives in a place where there is an NFL team. Some of you just like to hang out and watch football with no rooting interest, which is less stressful, I will be honest. When I watch my own team, even as I'm watching it as an analyst and taking notes, I don't enjoy it nearly as much. I prefer to watch other teams and pick storylines from other teams and other drama that doesn't personally break my heart. Although I got to tell you, watching the Giants last night, I did feel some excruciating just consternation for all the mistakes. So we're off and running in week number two. Really excited. Make sure you check out our podcast. We covered a lot of the games this weekend, and we'll be back Sunday night to break it all down. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.